Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is good to be back, and we are studying from Terrorize Bible Study Daybreak.
Yay!
Amazing, amazing study right now. We are in the book of Judges, chapter 6 and 7, on Gideon. Do you feel like Gideon?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I do. I do. Oh. I definitely, I can so relate to him right now. I feel like the little guy in the wine vat. Go in the strength you have. Where's the strength? I'm so glad he has all strength. He is all sufficient.
And like you said, our the verse that Gideon would be preaching if he was around for the New Testament is 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. And it's so true. There's something about somebody that you meet that admits that they fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more approachable, more understanding. They're real.
Yeah.
They're not putting that facade or the pride.
Right.
You just feel more comfortable because you're like, okay, she's real.
Right. It just makes a big, big, big difference in our life.
Praise God for his grace.
So what we're looking at is we're examining how when the people of Israel cried out to God in the time that Midian was destroying their land, there are some special things that happen to the children of God when we cry out to God. And the first was is that, I want to go back because I didn't mention this the last week, but I want us to catch it, is that when we give a sincere cry to the Lord, God will send a prophet, meaning someone who proclaimed the truth, someone who will bring the truth to us so that we can draw into his presence. And I can think of different examples in the New Testament in that, you know, like Cornelius. Cornelius was a devout, God-fearing man who generously gave to the poor and prayed, but he didn't know the Lord. And he was praying, mm-hmm. and God sent an angel to him and told him, you know, go find Peter, who's at in Joppa at Simon the Tanner's house, get him and he'll be able to explain to you the message. God will send the person that will give the truth we need if we are in a position of crying out to God. And so it's almost as if the person who proclaims the truth is the token of mercy that we get.
And
so we have to be where our ears are tuned to hear the person who's speaking the word and truth to us. And that's what God has done. He sent the prophet to them. Well,
I ask a quick question?
Yeah, you can ask any time.
I've been asked this before. Does God still have prophets today?
The definition of prophet is different New Testament than it is Old Testament. By practicality, if you look at how the two are laid out in the Old Testament, a prophet was a person who was assigned to give a word to the people. But we, New Testament, we have Genesis to Revelation, we have the proclaimed word of preparation for Christ, and then New Testament, we have Christ has come, and then Revelation makes it clear to us that it's not finished yet because Christ is coming back. But New Testament, the proclamation we're going to proclaim is the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that he sent him to this earth. He walked on this earth. He preached. He taught. He healed. Mm-hmm. He cast out demons. He was hung on a cross as an innocent man, fully God, died, was buried, rose on the third day, gave eyewitness accounts, and provided eyewitness accounts to multiple people in many places, and it was always with them eating. That he revealed himself is kind of fun. For that, I think, is so that they would know it really was him and not a spirit. And that he is coming again. Okay? Our responsibility as if we are a person that is like who has the gift of prophecy is to proclaim the truth. And the truth is the gospel. And versus in the Old Testament, they were looking towards Christ coming. He's already come. The only truth we can proclaim that is truth is that he's coming again, and we need to proclaim what he has done. So does that make sense?
Okay.
That's how it would be defined out as different, defining them differently. And so a prophet of God, a true prophet of God, is a person who proclaims the truth.
So isn't that anyone that believes in Christ?
Anyone who believes in Christ is called to share, is called to. But there will be some that will be called to be prophets. Okay? You think of in Corinthians where it's the spiritual gifting.
Right. Okay.
And so some of them will be more gifted at it you know, because that's where their gifting is, versus, you know, another person may be called to have, they have the gift of helps. Well, just because you have the gift of helps does not give you the right not to proclaim the gospel. You are still required right. to go make disciples of all nations. You are still to be a witness. And a witness is a person who is a representative, someone who is an evidence, just as a documentation, you know, in a piece of paper and you'd sign your name to it. It's evidence that you have read, you've seen, you've heard, and you've signed off. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
A witness is a person who has seen and heard mm-hmm. and signed off. Yes. And so to the gospel. And so even someone who has the gift of helps or the gift of mercy or the gift of giving, they are still required to give the gospel. But a prophet is going to have a greater gifting. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. And sorry to do a side Bible
study. No, that's okay, because that's an important question that most people might ask. And you know, we need to know and understand. And it's an important thing for us to grasp. He sent someone to the nation when Gideon, and that person told them, you know what? God told you what to do. You didn't listen. You didn't obey. And now it's time God's going to send a deliverer, and the deliverer is Gideon as the judge. And we left off last week where Gideon's in the wine vat, and God's told him that you're strong, mighty warrior, and Gideon's kind of like, yeah, right. And God says, you know, you need to go, and the strength you have, am I not sending you? Gideon's response ends up being, he says to him, he says, Lord, how can I save Israel? He asked him, how can I? I mean, haven't you ever felt that way? How can I go and tell this person about Jesus?
Oh my goodness,
how can
yes.
I do this? God, you don't understand. I don't know the Bible very well. I can't say book, chapter, and verse, God. I, you know, and you can list out all the things that make you inadequate.
Fear, right.
That's what he did. My clan is weakest. I'm of Manasseh. My family's the least within that tribe. I mean, I'm insignificant in the eyes of man. And God says, I will be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to hear
so
that.
Powerful.
I will be with you. And you will strike down all of the Midianites together. And then Gideon says, Lord, if I've found favor, he gets God and he says, God, if I found favor, I'm going to give you an offering. And at this point, he goes and he collects all this stuff. I mean, he gets like broth and a goat and barley, and he puts it on the rock, and God consumes it. And he realizes he's been face to face with God. And as he realizes this face to face confrontation has happened, what we have to understand is when we cry out to God, not only will God send a person who will tell us the truth, but God will reveal to us he's omnipresent. I'm with you. And that is a reminder to us that it's a symbol of God's love. I'm here. I'm here. And if you actually go through Genesis to Revelation and just look at the ways God reveals himself as present. Abraham, I'm with you. I'm going to give you, you know, an inheritance as far as the sand you can't count, and the stars in the sky, you know. And then Jacob and how he wrestles with him, and we've gone through, and what he did, and Moses, and that's out of order. And but, you know, I mean, and then you take it on, and God very much clearly reveals, I am here. And we can take it all the way through to the New Testament. And I'm remembering of the story of Peter at the gate called Beautiful with the beggar. And the beggar's like, you know, give me gold, you know, give me your silver. And he says, gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have in the Lord I give you. God makes his presence known to us and reveals himself. And it's his token of love.
Mm.
And that's what I want us to take from that. And then what happens is that he says, I can't. And God says, it's all right. Because guess what? I have a divine plan. I have a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, if you know scripture, what does that one say?
For I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and hope.
Yeah.
Not of...
You have a different translation memorized, but that's good.
Right.
You're right. Mine that I memorize is, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And if you call to me, I will hear you and I will answer. And so we've memorized in different translations, but it's the same thing, the way it's worded. And he says, I will show you my purposes. And so in Judges 6:14, the Lord turned to him and said, I want you to go in the strength you have. Am I sending you? And then God makes it clear to him that he has certain victory. Okay? I'm not just here with you. I'm not just sending somebody to tell you the truth. I'm not just here with you. I'm not just giving you a plan. But I want you to know, before you go, guess what? You have certain victory. It's set. It's done. Mm. And he says to him, and that's to secure assurance. We have to assume that Gideon was a very insecure man. We have to assume it.
Right.
Okay, he's hiding in that. I'm weak. My tribe is weak. My family's weak. He's insecure.
Yeah, murmur.
Okay, and God sends him the assurance that he needs, and the Lord says, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites all at one time. So he has the prophet, he has the presence, he has the plan. Do you see how amazing this is? And he has the promised victory. Right here in a nutshell, very clearly, God is showing him what he's doing. Now, if we take that and we expand that and we look at that in the context of New Testament, okay, I want y'all to think about this and what God has done with us with Christ. We have the prophet, we have his presence,
mm-hmm.
we have his plan, mm-hmm. we have his promised victory right
wow,
there.
That's it.
Why would I or you ever think I can't or I'm too weak? Going back to that 2 Corinthians 12:9, it's my weakness that yes. lets his power be revealed. If I'm going in my strength, then it's my pride that is what's going to be lifted, not God. But if I'm going in my weakness knowing it's not me, it's God, then it's God who's revealed.
Wow, that is amazing. And I think in our culture, with just Bible study the other night, I have many single moms. And that pride that they hold on to because they've been doing it for so long all by themselves. And, you know, just the fact that God will, if you let go of that, God will use you right where you're at.
Mm.
And there's so many women that need to know that exactly what you said. I promise.
Yeah.
Just to hold on to that and know, I promise God will not be mocked.
That's exactly right. And as I was preparing for this particular month in this series, I have felt very much like Gideon in the wine vat, and that I have all these different writing assignments that I'm working on, and in particular, the book of James that I am working on right now, and a very short time frame that I have to complete my deadline. And I literally was sitting at my computer, and I'm studying, and I've prayed, and I've asked God to cleanse me of my sins, and I'm seeking his face, and I felt like just over my head, I mean, it's the weirdest thing because I'm sitting on my couch. Just, you got to understand. I felt like I had a wall between me and God. Like I wasn't able to reach him.
Yes.
And I remember Daniel and how Daniel was praying, and it took 3 weeks for his prayer to be answered. And what happens is oftentimes when we come across that wall, we think, well, God must not be in it.
Mm.
But what needs to happen is that God is set us up in a situation where the perseverance of pushing through, of staying faithful
right.
to the task standing at firm. Hand, standing firm and allowing perseverance to produce the character in us that needs to happen so that we can get the character of God in us that is needed in that specific circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did is, God, I'm going to remain faithful. I will keep studying. I will keep praying. I will keep researching on James. And I know you have promised that you will reveal what I need to have so I can write this assignment. And so I will press forward with what I have, and I'll remain faithful to my task, knowing you will lift what needs to be lifted for me to accomplish what you have accomplished. But we often will say, God's not in it. I'm walking away. We do that in our marriages or in our relationships. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to go there anymore. The wall's just too thick. It's too heavy. I don't want to be the one that's going to have to break through that wall in that relationship. Or in our work situations, you know what? There's a better job. And we keep just working our way into different circumstances with different people, but we end up coming up to that same wall at some point. The only way we're going to get that wall broken down is if we are a person who's willing to truly go in the strength that we have in God, knowing that He has the plan and the victory is promised in Christ. And when we're willing to submit to that, that's when we're going to begin to see that things will change. Change will begin to happen and breakthrough occurs. I'll give another example. I'll give you my writing example. Personally, this year, my verses, and I just went blanked. I can't remember. Oh, I hate it when I do that. Anyhow, I am praying for love to increase in me, and specifically in Corinthians in the love chapter where it says love keeps no record of wrong. Mm-hmm. In some translations is that love does not take offense. And one of the things that God is revealing to me that I have allowed to happen that is a sin within me is that I have allowed myself to be offended by others. And because of that offense that I carry within my heart, it puts a barrier between me and others in my relationships, and specifically with my spouse or ministry related. I mean, in any place I can allow this to happen in me. And He has shown me that I have to break that barrier. And I was praying one day this week and I was asking God about love growing in me. And it dawned on me, He's breaking that offense in me. And it occurred to me over, I don't know, like a 2 or 3 week period, I had had no issue in any circumstance with any person or situation. And it dawned on me, I had had a breakthrough in the bondage of me taking offense. I didn't even realize until I started praying for this into my life that this was an issue I had until I started asking Him to increase 1 Corinthians, the love chapter 13, into my life. And that's the area that He's showing me that needs work. And so what I'd like to say is that He's revealing to Gideon what needs to happen for the nation. We each have our own personal area that we need to go in the strength we have in Christ, knowing that the victory is sure. Now come back next week, and what we're going to do is we're going to find out how He goes in to tear up the Baal and goes into battle and succeeds. We love you. God bless.
God bless.